Hello and welcome to the First Impressions Podcast. This is the official podcast for the Forum of Incident Response and Security Teams. Please join us for the 36th Annual FIRST Conference this summer in Fukuoka, Japan, June 9th through 14th, 2024. For more information, please visit first.org. And now we join the interview in progress.
This time on the show, we're lucky enough to be talking to James Potter, Principal Threat Hunting Lead at Huntington National Bank, and Raja Jasper, Senior Manager of Incident Response, again at Huntington National Bank. Welcome to the show, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You're going to be giving a talk at the upcoming FIRST Conference in Japan, and Navigating the New Normal in the Remote Hybrid Cybersecurity Landscape. Maybe you can give people listening to the podcast a quick TLDR. What are you going to be covering in your talk?
One of the things that we actually want to fully cover is looking at how we used to work in the past, so working in an office or being co-located by remote or hybrid, and then going through some of the challenges and also the victories that we have fostered between the teams in terms of growth, communication, and giving time back to people to develop their talents.
Yeah, we went with a little bit different on instead of doing more technical, addressing some of the feelings and the emotions within the workplace and the changes that kind of occurred over the years with even like we have a new generation of employees that have come up that have never actually worked in an office with them being hired during the COVID era and post-COVID era. So there's a lot of experiences and things that some of the norms from the past aren't necessarily as true as today.
Well, even now, some of those norms are changing, aren't they? Because we're seeing more businesses push back to the office. So like you said, some of those employees that we're dealing with are being there for the first time. And how are they adjusting as opposed to those of us who are old hats who had to adjust to being working from home?
Yeah, that's right. Because even, students that studied right during COVID are graduating that are remote and then trying to go back in the office and not knowing the skills that they need to have to converse with other leaders or senior analysts or their leads. It's really tough.
And then with mm-hmm. Some of us that have been around for a while, just the adapting with understanding, how to communicate more effectively through chats. And, even when we were in the office, there's a lot of conference calls, but just understanding the chat and educating people on how to read things and how to understand the communication path, which and how it applies to even with what we're doing in the security world.
Just not adding emotions, right, in the chat. So if I'm reading something at 9 o'clock in the morning and a rough night, right, like reading everything sounds like it's mean. Someone's being really mean about it, or just trying to put a happy tone towards the chats.
I mean, everyone has their own chat etiquette. I know that I'm of the generation where I would send a thumbs up to agree to something, but other people may see that thumbs up and think I'm being sarcastic, which could also be the case. It's kind of difficult to convey that kind of thing over Slack channels, especially when you're trying to chat in 5 different channels at once and not really thinking about how you're communicating.
Yeah, exactly. That goes to where Roger was just saying with especially for some of the newer employees and the ones that have been around for a while, reading it in different voices, so not just the tone that you think it is, but read it in some different tones. So read it in a happy tone, a sad tone, so that way you're not misinterpreting it. Because a lot of people, when you say good morning, good morning be interpreted as somebody saying good morning begrudgingly or good morning in a really happy voice, so.
As one of those people who, when speaking, is inherently a bit sarcastic in everything I say, I have to be very careful about that tone in the written format because it has come back to bite me a few times of, oops, that was more sarcastic than I meant.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's also a lot of instances, I imagine, specifically in the cybersecurity landscape where there's a lot of stress going on, especially if you're dealing with incidents, you're dealing with some major problem. People are not necessarily spending a lot of time thinking about how they communicate and are just trying to convey information as quickly as possible without really putting a lot of thought into it.
Yep. I think that also leads to the point of that it's always work talk, right? There's no building relationships because if we're in the office, right, you could just chat with someone or, let's go grab a coffee or, you know, tease each other and whatnot. But with your point, right, it's now it's like always give me this. It's very, you know, becoming very transactional of, you know, when someone's reaching out, it's more towards what do you want? You're just sitting there and waiting for that those requests to come in than to just seeing like how people are doing.
We introduced a few years ago, just when everything was remote, like full, like during the pandemic lockdowns and stuff with everything, we were looking at how to address, you know, just that when you used to be able to see somebody and read that language or just do shoulder surfing in the office space. And like if you had a major investigation you're working on or something, you were able to absorb knowledge from others by looking over shoulders. So in our case, one of the things we were trying out is to do, we're just calling like breakout rooms in our chat thing where it opens things up where instead of people pinging you for stuff, you were just making yourself available and doing an open meeting that you didn't really broadcast, but just got put into our chat that you are sitting there and we're sharing your screen and people can join in. You can talk about anything and everything, but it also allows people to kind of just chat and work at the same time and have a screen to be looking at least one of the individuals so they can kind of do some of shoulder surfing and observe. It's one of the challenges of when people are in different workplaces, because you could even be in the office and be distributed across multiple locations. So how are you able to share knowledge effectively without being transactional, like Roger was just mentioning?
But AI is going to take care of all of that, isn't it?
That's a simple answer for everything now, right?
As long as we can trust it, right?
We were joking a little bit kind of before we started recording about time zones as well. And I think that kind of comes into the conversation where, you know, especially in the hybrid world, if you don't need to be in the office anymore, you start to get people in different time zones and spread across different countries, you know, and how that brings in new levels of complexity when you start to look at meetings that maybe, you know, bridge US, Europe, and Asia all at the same time. And that's also got to be, it's a benefit, I imagine. You've got this, you know, follow the sun element, which you can use, but also it's a downside because people start to lose contact with other people in different time zones.
Yeah, that and just the delayed getting used to delayed responses. Not everything's always going to be instant. So
No. I need my responses now, immediate. Yeah. Everything's got to be immediate in this world. If it's not immediate, it doesn't work.
Exactly. The fun challenge of knowing when it needs to be done now and when it can just wait a few hours or if not a day and put it in another sprint somewhere.
So we all have a lot of experience now working from home. What do you want people to be able to take away from your talk that's going to be new for them? Or are you thinking more of awareness in general?
So when people start working at home initially, right, people are like so excited, they'll have all this downtime and whatnot. But quickly realizing that, you know, your days are much longer. One of the few things that we want people to take away is, you know, how are people developing their folks and the talent within the team? If I sit in meetings for 8 to 9 hours a day, and then after that, I'm exhausted, where do I have this time to write to actually develop myself and build these things out? So we actually want to walk through with teams of like, here's some of the takeaways that they can do to develop their team, you know, that are still working remote.
Yeah, to that, it was we had some key components with like the communication and the development, the talent building, like Roger was saying, in keeping engagement levels up there with because you know security is demanding work and but it's also a lot of the stuff is muscle memory that you end up getting, and how to adapt to different work environments to be able to take your normal assumptions and normal biases and adapt with those to make everybody a little bit better.
And it's difficult sometimes to remember you have to be switching between different modes of communication depending on who you're talking to, the topic, and I think it gets more complex as we get into the work from home stage of this.
Yep. Yeah, there's no downtime between the meetings, right? So that's one of the other components that we want to talk through is like, how do we build downtime between the meetings? is if I'm going meeting to meeting to meeting, and as you know, you said that, you know, it might be difficult to switch the mindset to start building out this, you know, within the meetings itself, like here's a couple minutes that, you know, we're just going to hang out where we start, let the mind calm down.
Not only that, but realistically, the only exercise I ever get is rushing between floors because the meeting rooms are booked on the floor I'm on. So, you know, that's something you miss when you just press a button and you're straight into the next call.
Or you give people 5 minutes at the end of the meeting so they can go to the bathroom before the next meeting.
Yeah, it's always nice. Just the time to reset the mind. And the other component here is when you're running a security incident and you're doing an investigation, that was something that you know, it's constantly evolving when everybody is kind of co-located, you know, with different companies and stuff. We used to have war rooms. And when you're running an investigation, you lock the things down to a certain location and everything would be contained in there. People would whiteboard, stuff like that. Going to having people in more locations, having people remote, having, you know, it's not just working from home. It's you have people from that could be in the office, people that are from home. It's just nobody's in the same exact location. When you're handling these major incidents, how to coordinate and keep those communication flows and the information shared and adapting with those incident response plans to work with dispersed workforce.
Yeah, I think everything becomes a certain layer more complex when you start to have to deal with remote, hybrid time zones, you know, people of different expectations of communication. There's certainly an additional layer of complexity that as an industry, we need to get our heads around and understand, because I don't expect remote and hybrid work is going to disappear despite the push for companies to bring people back to the office in some way, shape or form. I think the norm now is remote work partially and will continue to fluctuate. So the more we can learn about this and adapt and understand the complexities, the better we can serve our constituents. So look forward to hearing more about your experiences and kind of what you're doing and maybe brainstorming ideas that we as an industry can do better.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to hearing what people have to say while we're in Japan and getting feedback of what other individuals have seen as successes and challenges within their departments.
You know, I don't think anyone's got it right just yet. No. But it's a journey. It's a journey.
Yep.
Well, James Potter, Raja Jasper, thank you both for joining the podcast, and we look forward to seeing you in Fukuoka.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Should be a good time out there.
Thank you for listening to the First Impressions podcast. I'm your host, Martin McKay, and along with Christian Riley, we interview people who are going to be speaking at upcoming FIRST conferences. We look forward to seeing you at the 36th annual FIRST conference this summer in Fukuoka, Japan. It'll be going on June 9th through 14th. For more information, please visit first.org.